Well, my part of the sermon today is going to be about an attitude of thanksgiving. That's the title of mine. And, of course, we had a Thanksgiving this past Thursday, and we really enjoyed ours. It was a wonderful time to get together, beautiful weather, and a great opportunity to just sit down with the family and be thankful for the things that are the blessings that we have, which are many. I was looking at our website the other day and saw an article by Don Hooser, one of our ministers down in Texas. He wrote an article titled, Being Thankful Helps Us. Thanksgiving Day is more than just being thankful. And he concluded that being thankful helps us. It's good for us. Said gratitude is the mother of all virtues. It's hard to have a bad attitude when you're feeling grateful. That's true. Now I looked up on another website, not UCG, but another one about a scientific study. It showed that being thankful and having gratitude is good for us. Point number one was acknowledging other people's contributions can lead to better relationships. You know, how many times have you gone into a store and spent quite a bit of money, and when you check out, they'll just say, well, have a good day, or something like that. But not too many times will people say, thank you. It used to be standard when you bought something that people would say thank you, and still many places do. And how often do we say thank you when somebody does something nice for us? Point number two was grateful people sleep better. You're having trouble sleeping? They suggest spending 15 minutes just jotting down a few things you have to be thankful for before you go to sleep. Now, I told this brief anecdote about when I was growing up. Remember Eddie Fisher? Told this over in Memphis, and they were all younger, and they looked like blank stares. Remember Debbie Reynolds? Any of you remember Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds? Eddie Fisher sang a song titled Counting My Blessings. Remember that? When I'm worried and I can't sleep, count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings. See? So there was something to that song. Now, if somebody sang it today, they probably wouldn't be a hit, but back then it was. I think it was the late 50s, probably. So, point number two. Point three is gratitude improves our health, mental health. So if any of you are feeling a little fuzzy mentally, the gratitude will help. It reduces harmful emotions ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. So there was a PhD, Robert Emmons, who conducted research on this and confirmed that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. So if we can find things to be grateful about, it will help. And it increases mental strength. That's another point, point number four. It was a 2003 study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. Sounds a little high grade, I guess. But basically, they concluded that gratitude was a major contributor to the resilience following the 9/11 attack in New York. Well, you might think, well, what could you be grateful for after you'd seen that? Well, grateful that you could see it and you were still living. You know, that's one thing to be grateful for. Perhaps grateful that none of your family or relatives that you knew were in it. Certainly grateful for the first responders who came and helped out a great deal. And grateful that you live in a nation that's wealthy enough to rebuild after that. And that's just a few of the things you can be thankful for. Thankful for the people who were happy to see that. Live in poorer countries than you. You know, you could be thankful for that too. Gratitude, finally, the fifth point, gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. So it helps us to have more empathy toward others and feel less hostile to them. It's a scientific study about just being grateful for things. Something that we're not always apt to do here in this country, even though we have a great deal, a lot more than many countries, as Jim pointed out. What does the Bible say about gratitude and being thankful? Well, the first scripture I wrote down, Jim already read, which is Psalm 100. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's what we should do here when we come on the Sabbath day, right? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And this is what Paul advised. Paul was one who had gone through a lot of trials in his life. He was also one who, previous to being converted, had caused a lot of people to have trials. So he knew that from both sides. He said in verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So the Bible shows that there is a relationship between having a thankful attitude to God and having peace of mind. A good thing that everybody wants to have today, right? Peace of mind. That's what so many people look for and cannot find. And the Bible tells us that God does hear our prayers. And a lot of people wonder whether God hears the prayers. Maybe some of us have. I guess I have too. But in James 5:16, I'm not going to turn there because I'm going to read in the New Living Testament translation, which I don't have with me. It says, "A fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man avails much." That's what it says in New King James. But the New Living Translation says, "Earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Right? I know a lot of you have been praying for people on our prayer list. We've got 13-page or 14-page prayer list. One of them was Samara Brock. I don't know if that name rings a bell or not. A young girl, I guess she's about 14 now. At age 14, I just heard this last night listening to a sermon from Randy D'Alessandro in Chicago, and that's in his congregation. At 14, she weighed about 40 pounds. And a lot of that was caused from the fact that she didn't like to eat. Food didn't taste good to her, and so she was fed intravenously, kept alive that way for a long time, many years. So the doctors finally diagnosed it correctly, and they had a surgery. Everything went well. And as soon as she got out of surgery, she was hungry and started to eat. So she's eating now. It's been a long time. Prayer wasn't answered right away, but it was answered. So hopefully she'll be off of that prayer list before long. So the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does a lot, doesn't it? Be thankful for our physical blessings. Jim talked about that a lot. I'm not gonna talk about that too much. But one of the blessings was let's go there. 1 Timothy 4, and this is a little bit different way of looking at our blessings. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4. You might, as we're starting to read this, you might wonder, well, how is that a blessing? 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving." And he goes on to explain that a little bit better. "For it is sanctified," or set apart, "as good to eat by the word of God and prayer." So if we look at the word of God, Deuteronomy 5, I think, and another place, we'll find out that there are certain things that God wants us to eat, and certain animals, and other things that he does not want us to eat. Now, it's been about 50 years, I've been baptized 48 years, so it's been about 50 years since I stopped eating pork, at least to the best of my knowledge. You know, I've traveled quite a bit, and sometimes when you go to a restaurant, you're not real sure of what they cook something in, but anyway, best of my knowledge, I've not eaten any pork for 50 years. Which is a good thing for me because I just came from a doctor's examination, said my heart's good. good shape, good-hearted. Mind's not, you know, kind of shaky, but heart's good. My grandfather died of a heart attack at age about 80. My father died of a heart attack at age 66. My sister and brother have both had heart operations. And my sister is dead now. Brother's still living, but he's a little over 80. But he has lost a lot of weight, and I think he's changed his diet quite a bit too. So anyway, there's a blessing in following God's laws here, health laws, right? Great blessing. Sometimes we don't think about that very often. That's a blessing. We can be thankful for physical blessings, and that's one of them. Be thankful for our calling. Point number two, be thankful for our calling. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And this is what Paul said about his calling. He said, I thank Jesus, Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, and an insolent man, and he certainly was, or arrogant man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So, it says the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. So, God called us, and I don't think we've done the bad things that Paul has done, but I know that I certainly didn't obey God's laws until I came into God's church. And I think that's basically true of all of us. I know some who grew up in the church perhaps maybe had a little bit more good experience in keeping God's laws and so forth. Didn't have as much to repent of, but most of us have quite a bit to repent of. And in this society, it's getting worse. I had a pretty good childhood, really. Of course, my dad raised hogs, and that's what we had for much of our meat. We did have a lot of organic vegetables and fruit to eat, so that kind of, I guess it offsets it a certain degree. Be thankful for our calling. You know, it's an honor. Sometimes we look at it as, man, you know, I wish, or young people, I guess, look at it that way, as I wish God hadn't called me until, you know, I was older and had my share of fun and so forth and so on. But anything that's true and lasting fun is going to be within God's laws. You know, you can have a lot of fun at the feast doing various things. Like up at Branson, they have a lot of things to offer, and they're all within God's law. So you can have fun and still keep God's laws. But it's also an honor. God is not calling very many people, hasn't chosen very many people in this age. There are, several billion people on earth and just a few thousand people in God's church. So we're hardly anything, right? Hardly a drop in the bucket. It's going to be an honor for us, though, to be in his kingdom, as we'll be helping Jesus Christ rule the world from Jerusalem, right? Rule the world from Jerusalem. And we're going to have the honor of being able to rule over several cities, perhaps. The apostles are going to be judges over the 12 tribes of Israel. It's an honor to be chosen for that, even though it is difficult at times to endure. We could be thankful for others that God has called. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians after Timothy. I think it is. Before Timothy. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. And this is what Paul said about those in God's church. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. Chose you. Chose us for salvation. Why did he do that? I don't know. In my family, my brother was a Marine. My sister was good cook, good housewife, and so forth. My mother was a very nice person. My dad worked hard and provided for the family, but God didn't call any of them, and none of my relatives that I know of. So why did he call me? I don't know. Why did he call any of you? He knows. So it's a great thing to be called by God. Be thankful for our calling. Be thankful for others who have been in the church. What would we do if we didn't have anybody to meet with? Well, we got the church, UCG Church, got a letter the other day, and I was the one that received it, about a lady in Cyprus. Now, Cyprus is an island off the coast of Greece, and she was very interested in our program, takes our literature, and had been attending a Greek Orthodox church, which was, I guess, the only one there on the island of Cyprus. Maybe there were others, but nothing that kept the Sabbath and so forth. Wrote a letter and asked if it would be okay to meet with them. And, of course, the answer was no. Wouldn't be a good idea. But we do have a lot, and this is a blessing of modern technology, that you can access sermons and all kinds of information on our website now, anywhere around the world. And hopefully, obviously, she has email service because she wrote us an email. But that's something that couldn't have done a while ago. But there are people around the world, not only in Cyprus, but other places in remote, kind of remote areas of India and other places that don't have anybody to meet with. And so it's a great blessing for us to have other people to meet with. It's a good thing. Thank God for His coming kingdom. Point number four. Thank God for His coming kingdom. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. The pastor I mentioned, Randy D'Alessandro, was beginning a study on the book of Isaiah, and we listened to his first one. It was kind of an introduction. He's planning on doing quite a long study that might be interesting. You can get that on our website too. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 2. This is one of Isaiah's prophecies. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now, Isaiah apparently was had some pretty good connections with the royalty of Judah. And so he was a highly educated fellow and well known by the ruling house of Judah at that particular time. This is what he said in verse 2. You know, incidentally, he apparently was martyred, sawn in two by Ahab, I think it was. Or no, it was Manasseh. Manasseh, I'm sorry. Okay, but this is way before then. In verse 2, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, that's a government. Jesus Christ is going to actually establish a government. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as it says in the book of Revelation. And that means He's going to be ruling over the nations of the earth. And we're going to be helping Him. Okay. It says, the mountain of the Lord's house, His government, shall be established on the top of the mountains. So He's going to be over the other governments of the earth, exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. That's what people are going to do from around the world. You don't see anybody doing that today. You know, here we're, I know United Church of God is preaching the gospel around people around the world. And it's available on the internet to anybody who has access to the internet. And many people, even in poor countries, have access to the internet. But not very many people are interested in the truth, right? In doing the truth. Many people should come up and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his paths. Is that going to happen today? No, not at all. No, it's not. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the law, God's law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many nations, rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and shares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. We're a long way from that right now. I think I said before that we had 10 nations that had nuclear power, and I think Russia has more nuclear weapons than we do. China certainly has nuclear weapons, quite a number, I think, and good delivery systems, both of those nations. And even places like Pakistan has nuclear weapons. And North Korea, with a leader who's kind of shaky, you know. Never know if he might use them or not now. We have kind of a temporary lull in that. But I don't know how long that will last. We will see. But there's going to come a time when nations will be at peace, and it's going to have to be forced by the returning Jesus Christ. The governments of this world are not going to do that. The United States, with all its power and so forth, cannot do that. And no other nation can even remotely come close to doing that. But God can. So that's going to happen. A new world order. And we can be a part of it. We ought to be very, very thankful for that. Let's go to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. And talk about what the earth is going to look like after Christ comes back. Right now, the area around Jerusalem is not a place that I would even want to visit. I've seen it on the internet and seen pictures of it, and it doesn't look encouraging to me. It doesn't look like a place I would want to even travel to very much. Isaiah 51 verse 3, but this is what's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He'll comfort all her waste places. He'll make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So I'm sure people will be greatly thankful for that when Jesus Christ returns. He's going to make Jerusalem a showplace, you might say. It's going to be probably the most beautiful place on the face of the earth, like Eden, like the Garden of Eden. Okay, and of course the desert is going to bloom like a rose, and it's not doing that today, but let's go back to Isaiah 11. One more thing, Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verse 6. It was at least a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, we came home from Sabbath services, found a note on our door, said there was a sex offender in the neighborhood. Well, police have to do that. And I think we were at that time kind of taking care of our youngest granddaughter. And that, you know, makes you got to be very, very careful about where you let your children play, your grandchildren. And I know I've seen a copperhead in the backyard. I disposed of one time. But, and we have a kind of a wooded area next to us, two lots that has grown up and trees and brush and so forth. I know there's snakes in there, probably poisonous snakes. And occasionally one might venture into our yard. So you got to be careful about that, having children play in the backyard. But there's going to come a time when you won't have to worry about things like that. And that's what Isaiah 11 is talking about. Isaiah 11, verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox, no longer a predator. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. We wouldn't want to do that now. So, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is hard to imagine, isn't it? Can you imagine that? No matter where you go on the earth, there'll be knowledge of God's ways. That's not going to take place immediately. It'll take some time, but that's going to happen. And in every facet of your life, whether it's sports or school or farming or, most of all, religion. Right? Not going to be a bunch of false religions. One true religion. Oh, that's going to be amazing. That's what we have to look forward to in God's kingdom, and God's called us to that. So it's a lot to be thankful for. And the last point that I want to make is God, we can be thankful that God has blessed us with perseverance to stay faithful to Him. You know, we've gone through some difficult trials, haven't we? Since we've been in the church. I was baptized in 1970, and a lot of things have happened since then. I remember when Garner Ted had his problems, and of course, more recently, when Mr. Armstrong died and Worldwide kind of fell apart and broke apart into various other churches of God. And we have personal trials in our life, right? A lot of physical trials and so forth. It's difficult. We don't have as difficult trials as Job had, but we do have difficult trials. But we do have, God's given us perseverance. Trials help us to develop perseverance. And so they strengthen us, give us character. Mr. Armstrong used to say, God cannot create righteous character by fiat. So it takes effort on our part too. But God has blessed us so that we're persevered. That's important, isn't it? Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. And one of these days we'll be able to say this. I hope I will. I hope all of you will. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. That's not just a fake crown. It's going to be mean something, you know. Give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And we're all looking forward to Christ's return, and so we conduct ourselves in a manner that is pleasing to him, so we can be there when he returns. So, let's always remember to thank God for blessings, especially for calling, for God's love toward us, and for his coming kingdom. We have a lot to be thankful for. Hope you had a good day. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And hope you have a good rest of the day.